Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing Gavin Ortland versus Megan Basham. Now, Megan Basham just wrote and published a book called Shepherds for Sale. It exposes a lot of the liberal infiltration in the church, the dollars behind the liberal infiltration. So it's a very much a follow the money type of book. Gavin Ortland is listed in the first chapter of the book, which focuses on climate change. And this is because he did a video on climate change in 2022. Gavin Ortland is pretty upset, dare I say butthurt, about his depiction in Megan Basham's book. And he is launching a PR campaign against Megan Basham's book, which has included a lot of his followers review bombing the book on Amazon and also invading other people's comment sections to, you know, take down the book, you know, interviews and stuff like that. So his followers are getting a little crazy out there, but I'm not overly shocked other than the fact that these people are very devoted to someone who's very theologically liberal. I mean, Gavin Ortland's the type of person that thinks that it's, you know, you can faithfully be a Christian and be wrong about homosexuality. He also says that being universalist does not make someone a heretic, which is very odd, but that's a, you know, that's his version of a theological triage, but it's just a lot of liberal gobbledygook, as Norm MacDonald might say. But we're going to talk about his take on climate change and not his other various liberal positions in this video. But first, I want you to know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our work over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. That's our Patreon-like system because we don't use Patreon because of censorship. So we built our own. And that's our system. We also have a free newsletter, which you definitely want to get on because it's free and it gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. And this is a Christian news and discernment ministry. But anyway, this is the article that we have. Did Megan Basham lie about Gavin Ortland? And I'm going to use this article as you know, to talk about what Megan Basham wrote and how she characterized Gavin Ortland. And I believe, you know, I'm a fair representation of both sides here. We're going to show more of what Gavin Ortland said, but let's talk about how Gavin Ortland is introduced. And by the way, smash that like button and subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. So Gavin Ortland is introduced as someone with preppy guru vibes, poised to reach the next generation, as someone with connections to broader Big Eva, as shown by his affiliation with the Tim Keller Center for Cultural Apologetics. Now, this is a very liberal organization. Quite a few homosexuals in this organization as well, and side B theology proponents. So it's a very gay organization, by the way. But, you know, they're straight. The apple fell straight from the tree with the Tim Keller and the Tim Keller Center. Basham then asserts that his 2022 video is an ideal example of what liberal activists wanted to see in terms of messaging evangelicals on the issue. So there's a reason. There's a narrative going on that now Gavin Ortland is being talked about. And it talks about a lot of the history involving environmentalists in evangelicalism, how they operated and what organizations that they formed and who they tried to partner with. The successes and the lack of successes. I honestly think this is the best chapter of the book that I've read so far. It just seems to be the most informative. I'm very informed on a lot of these issues. Like, there's a couple chapters where I kind of knew a lot of this stuff already, but this is the chapter that has most blown my mind, is chapter one. And it ends talking about Gavin Ortland as someone who is going to message liberalism to the next generation of evangelicals. So, and climate change is the example that's used because it is the thematic example in the chapter. So, she writes, the theme of the episode titled Climate Change, Why Christians Should Engage, is that evangelicals have been very skeptical or apathetic about the issue because they've been politicized by the right. He begins in characteristically soft tones by asking his audience to consider orienting their postures to the subject in which a way as not to be closed off. He then shares that he's deeply burdened that too many Christians have dismissed the idea that human-caused climate change poses a significant risk to humanity without having studied it, not based on the evidence, but based on socio-political associations. Does he say this? Well, we do actually have the clips, so let's actually play some of these clips right now.
All the basic principle of love your neighbor, that applies to how we think about our children, our grandchildren, future generations. And then there's now, so what I want to propose is that the particular reason why American evangelicals, so Christians in my context, I'm an evangelical pastor, I live in the United States in Southern California. People in my circles tend to be very skeptical or apathetic or cautious about an issue like climate change. And what I'm trying to do here at the start is say, I don't think that's anything endemic to our theology. I think it's more cultural, political, and social factors. And there's lots there that we could mention, but I think the main thing is just in the United States in recent decades, though not back in earlier times, issues of environmental stewardship and particularly climate change have been associated with political liberalism, and evangelicals have tended to be politically conservative. And I think that is the biggest single factor for why more Christians aren't more active in kind of leading the charge on something like climate change. I don't think there's anything theologically that would discourage us from caring about an issue like this.
So Gavin Ortland begins with an appeal to loving your neighbor legalism. And it's legalism because he leaves off the condition in which we are supposed to love our neighbor, which is as ourselves. If someone leaves off those last two critical words, they are really trying to work an agenda on you, because that's not what the text says. It says love your neighbor as yourself, not this broad, nebulous love your neighbor and therefore do what we want you to do with leftist liberal policies. And that's typically how we've seen this term used in the evangelical world. And Megan Basham does get to how this began. And I think that blew my mind. And that is one of the top reasons to get this book, is the origin story on that. So anyway, now he's going to chide conservatives, people who are right-wing Christians, for not having hit the books or done the research. And we're going to talk about Gavin Ortland's research after this.
But it just, there's nothing that should make us not open to considering this. And I guess to get to the point here on this first point, I'm just deeply burdened that many people come to this super strong opinion about climate change, just as they do on other social and cultural issues, without having studied it. Not based on the evidence, but based on the socio-political associations of the issue. I think that is a massive problem. And we've got to avoid that. If we are called to be people of truth, that means we shouldn't make up our minds in advance on an issue. We should study the issue. We should read books about the issue. I'll give some book recommendations at the end. Now, that none of that all, you know, means absolutely someone has to have some opinion out of the gate. All I'm trying to say here is at the beginning is to make an appeal that there's nothing that in principle should make us close-minded about this. On the contrary, our theology should make us eager to steward well over the environment. And we'll talk about this a little bit. Number one, it's just good to observe, first of all, that there is pretty much a scientific consensus or a very close to a scientific consensus on human-caused climate change as a very real problem. And this is, again, the appeal and just the burden I have when people are dismissive towards this. If you're going to go against a near consensus in the scientific community, don't just shoot from the hip. You know, study it and make sure that that's a wise thing to do, because I see a lot of people reacting instinctively rather than really hitting the books. And I don't think that that's a responsible posture for Christians to take.
Gavin Orland does say the things that Megan Basham quotes him as saying, and her characterization so far is not inaccurate. It is quite honest, and I think it's quite gentle, and we're going to see how bad Gavin Orland is going to get, because he's going to fail basic earth science because he doesn't understand how the planet works. He doesn't understand the basic homeostasis mechanisms of how the planet works. He doesn't understand what rising sea levels would do. He does not understand basic climate science, but he read all these people who want to push a climate change narrative and then just believe them, just like he did with a certain 2020 pandemic.
Sources of energy like coal, natural gas, petroleum, things like this. And we use these to power our cars and our homes and our airplanes and so forth. And in so doing, they emit greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, especially carbon dioxide. Okay. And then there's a bunch of other factors as well, but this is the main one, is huge increases in emissions of greenhouse gases. The reason that's a problem is because, first of all, greenhouse gases stay in the atmosphere forever, practically. But basically, they trap more heat energy from the sun. So it's like putting more blankets on at night. You're just trapping more heat energy from the sun the more you pump out there. And this is a basic, the reason I say kind of, I use words like intuitive and commonsensical is because you can observe the greenhouse effect at the local level.
I highlight this example because Gavin Orland gets basic climate science wrong. He doesn't understand the carbon cycle. Yes, some carbon does stay in the atmosphere forever, but also some carbon stays in the ground forever. There's an off balance that goes on both ends of the carbon cycle, where some stays up in the air, some stays down in the ground forever and is out of the cycle, but still circulates. What I didn't include is, you know, in a graph, is that more carbon dioxide in the air acts as a fertilizer for plants on the ground. So the plants on the ground would then produce more oxygen as a result of having more carbon dioxide in the air. It is homeostasis, and he doesn't understand these things. The idea that the Earth had more water surface temperature or water surface area, we would actually get colder because water absorbs heat. It is, you know, that's actually one of our units of measurement of heat, is the amount of energy to, you know, increase the degree of, I believe in Celsius, the temperature of water. So water is insanely, you know, has insane heat tenacity, in other words. But he doesn't understand basic climate science. He also doesn't understand that sea level is an extremely localized phenomenon. But anyway, I just wanted to highlight the carbon cycle because that was the easiest to debunk. And I would also say that the notion of fossil fuels is also very disputable, that the idea that these are not a renewable source of energy. But the biggest beef that I might have with these environmentalists is they assume that carbon dioxide is bad. No, carbon dioxide is fertilizer. It's good. It's not pollution. Carbon dioxide is not pollution. Anyone who's telling you otherwise is a liar.
It's so you have the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, called the IPCC. It's a group of leading scientists from all over the world assigned to study this issue, and they've been advocating for human-caused global warming as a serious problem for a long time. But all these other, in fact, I think when I first studied this, if I'm remembering this correctly, from 2007 on, every other scientific body of national or international standing agrees that human-caused global warming is a...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Serious problem. So the level of conspiracy and hoax it would be if somehow all of these different... People think that scientists are all together. People have this distrust of science. Science is an inherently conservative process. And... these people are not all in cahoots with each other, you know? If somebody could disprove this, there'd be much incentive to do that. And yet you have so much agreement in the scientific community, and I'm just deeply concerned that there is an anti-science mentality that evangelicals often have. So that's the first thing to say.
A quote from Megan Basham: Ortlund cites only one scientific authority in his video, the same one that the Evangelical Climate Initiative cited 16 years earlier, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which he describes as a group of leading scientists from all over the world. He goes on to say that every scientific body of national or international standing agrees that human-caused global warming is a serious problem. To not accept that consensus, he says, is to buy into conspiracy and hoax. It is a failure to take a responsible posture as a Christian. As for why Ortlund feels his brothers and sisters must accept the prevailing climate change narrative, he offers nothing more than those three magic words: love your neighbor. And again, that's referencing something that he said in the beginning of his video. We're doing these clips in chronological order in this video. But I don't think that's dishonest, and I don't think it's an unfair characterization of what Gavin Ortlund is basically arguing. It is love your neighbor legalism that I despise so much seeing in the church. So from there, and this is where the book gets pretty spicy, from there, Basham, as a scientist who's a witness in the book, he's quoted in the book and stuff like that, who's consulted to expose the validity or lack thereof of the scientific consensus. The 97% of climate scientists statistic referenced by Ortlund is misleading and would include climate skeptics like Dr. Roy Spencer, who's quoted in the book, and then a professor of theology, Cal Beisner, is very much involved in the countering the environmentalism industry in evangelicalism. He's been an activist on this front since the mid-2000s, is then quoted in the book chiding Ortlund for not reading the IPCC report, because if he had, he would have not made a ridiculous claim. So that's on page 28. The IPCC is then debunked, referring back to a news event dubbed at the time ClimateGate. Now, if you were old enough to remember ClimateGate, then, you know, congratulations, you might be feeling old now. But I think she's far more gentler than I would have been personally. But one of the key things that Megan Basham does is expose the IPCC as a fraudulent organization. Its material is not written by scientists, it's written by delegates. These are not, you know, scientist delegates, these are UN delegates, you know, or their staffers. These are politicians, these are people in politics writing these reports from the IPCC, and that's what's exposed. Gavin Ortlund hasn't done the reading, and that's why he's terrible on basic earth science. He's not good on this at all. So anyway, here's the next clip.
Increase in extreme local weather events. And these are some of the things that are, and I'm not trying to scare people with this. That's not the motive, but it's just trying to be accurate. And we need to understand what a big deal this is. If you increase, if you have more and more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and you increase the average global temperatures, what happens is you get less frequent rainfall, but more concentrated and heavier rainfall when it does rain. So it leads to droughts in some places and flooding in other places. It also leads to land erosion and all kinds of problems. There's this disruption to the natural cycles of rainfall, and that's a really big problem. You also have more intense hurricanes because they are fueled by the warmer waters in the summer. You have more wildfires, which I live in Southern California. I can tell you how devastating those are, partly because of drought, but also because of drier air.
This is just another clip where Gavin Ortland fails basic earth science. No, we have not had more severe hurricanes. 2017 was a very bad year for hurricanes, but it was also the first very bad year for hurricanes since Katrina. So that was a very long time to have gone without a major hurricane making landfall in the United States. 12 years, where we heard some of the worst climate change propaganda in that time. And yet there were no severe hurricanes making landfall in the United States. Then he also talks about wildfires, which are not a natural disaster. A lot of these wildfires are man-made. And they're also the result of poor forest management, California. But anyway, a lot of these stuff are not the natural disasters or result of climate change that Gavin Ortland is pretending. So anyway, he is terrible on earth science, and it shows. Megan Basham was so gentle with Gavin Ortland here.
And so, you know, richer countries like the United States, which we consume so much per capita, it's embarrassing how much we consume. But we won't face the direct effects as much, probably, as other places in the world. And so issues of climate and issues of poverty are linked. This is why the climate affects everything. You know, you can't just isolate this and say, oh, that's not as important. If you care about anything else, if you are pro-life, you should care about climate change. Because when there is a drought or a famine in a poor country, people die. When there's flooding and wildfires, people die. And the scary thing is, you know, seeing the ripple effects and wondering about how all that goes out, you know, famine and things like that, that causes political problems that can lead to war, you know.
As a pro-life activist, I cannot stand when people try to expand the life issue beyond just abortion and human euthanasia. Those are the two classic examples, but if you try saying, oh, poverty is a life issue, climate change is a life issue, just get out of here. Megan Basham did not include this part in her book, and maybe she should have included it. It is such terrible logic. She talks about the same type of logic in the next chapter, or the following chapter. But anyway, the expansion of the, you know, being what it means to be pro-life beyond abortion and human euthanasia is just one of the attempts to liberalize and water down the issue and subvert it from the inside out. Can't stand it. It is so evil and it needs to be exposed.
I don't know. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm not trying to be a doomsday person and paint this apocalyptic thing. I'm just trying to say it's important enough to take this issue seriously. This really matters. In other words, I'm just trying to deflect that feeling of people saying, well, but that's not that important. You know, yeah, you know, we should get to it when we have time, but there's more urgent things that we have to address. No, this really matters. And the more I've studied it, the more I've become convinced it is really important to take seriously.
So after giving all these doom and gloom scenarios about climate change, Gavin Ortland then wants to give a disclaimer about, I'm not trying to be apocalyptic here. But Megan Basham writes, if he were trying to be apocalyptic, what would he have said that was any different? So Megan Basham is very skeptical about his disclaimer there. She rejects it, ultimately, and I don't blame her. You don't get to say all that stuff, but, you know, climate affects everything. But I'm not trying to be apocalyptic or anything. Well, yeah, you kind of are, and you know, I have a Bible, and that's not my eschatology. Climate change is not my eschatology. So anyway, here's the next clip.
In fact, that's one tiny thing compared to everything we need to do. My personal belief is that the solution to climate change is likely to be very complicated, multi-pronged, and long-term. And it's, you know, this is going to be tough. To put some categories out there, I think it's going to involve kind of an all of the above approach of reducing consumption, personal actions, governmental actions, adjusting and adapting to new circumstances. And then the big thing that I put, this is where I put most of my focus and hope, to be honest, is technological breakthroughs into new forms of clean energy. And then you read about all these interesting kind of, they sound like sci-fi ideas, but all these forms of geoengineering that people are talking about, where people have all these theories about, you know, injecting sulfur into the stratosphere, and that can offset some of the greenhouse gases and things like this.
In this clip, Gavin Ortland is clearly advocating for government intervention to fight climate change. This has looked bad everywhere it's been tried. In Sri Lanka, it crashed their economy. It's doing a lot of damage to the Netherlands, which has a major agricultural industry. And in the United States, it's definitely causing some issues. You know, and a lot of our power grid is going to be threatened if we try to switch to clean, renewable energies that aren't, you know, nuclear. And most of these clean renewable energies aren't that clean or renewable. I'm talking about wind, I'm talking about solar. They're not that clean and they're not that renewable. But these people don't understand basic science. Gavin Ortland is just repeating talking points that he's been told. And it shows. His all of the above approach is going to hurt humanity. With the exception of his major reliance on technological breakthroughs, but even the one that he cited seems pretty playing God. It seems very Bill Gates, I'm going to play God, inject sulfur into the atmosphere. We've seen a lot of, trying to manipulate weather has not worked out for a lot of areas. So anyway, here's the next clip, final two clips.
Let's take courage to talk about it, because there's a stigma attached with issues. What I've found is that if people hear you talking about climate change, they assume you're going liberal or something like that. On this is, can we talk about this more? It just seems like it's one of those issues that should be way high on the level of urgency, and yet you can understand in the midst of so many other things going on in our world, it gets put on the back burner. And this is something we need to think about. It's something we need to talk about. And Christians should not be sitting on the sidelines in a conversation like this. Of anybody, we should be diving in. Remember Jack Collins' word, capture. We should be leaning into an issue like this. So that's my appeal. Thank you.
So this is definitely one of the parts that's referenced by Megan Basham. I also want to talk that his end goal is to struggle session people. Let's have a conversation, which is often code for struggle session. That's how it was on the race issues. And that's how it is on a lot of gender issues and sexuality issues. Let's have these conversations. And these conversations are basically one-sided struggle sessions. In the climate world, you're really not allowed to dispute climate change. And Megan Basham does document multiple scientists who were punished in their careers for going against the narrative. There are consequences for doing so. Gavin Ortland does not take that into account when he touts a scientific consensus. Well, what happens if you disagree? Well, you get booted out. Your career suffers. That's what happens if you disagree. But anyway, Megan Basham, at the end of the day, went incredibly light and easy on Gavin Ortland, who advocates for, climate change policies. He does advocate government policies. It's not a huge part of his video, but it's in there. And he does use the whole love your neighbor legalism, which Megan Basham does talk about. And he uses that to expand the pro-life issue, which is such a liberal tactic and one of subversion. At the end of the day, Gavin Ortland is a bad guy. He is going to lead people astray, and he needs to be exposed. So that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray. This is the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do subscribe. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And I will catch you on the next one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.